Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin Price of VolQuest.com joins us. Austin, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys, and yourself?
Excellent. Discussing a lot about the NBA, but we turn our attention now to the Tennessee Volunteers. And I mentioned earlier that we have not heard Pruitt use the word rebuild at all. Why is that?
Because I don't think he wants to say they're in a rebuild. I think he wants to try to, you know, reload or reconfigure as quickly as he can. I think that's why you've seen the addition of Bryce Thompson. You've seen them be very active with grad transfers and JUCOs. Because, you know, as I've said on here on your show before, Jonathan, to get the Kovaris Crouch type player, to get the Darnell Wright type player, they've got to show some significant progress this year. You know, they can't go 5-7 and win one more game than last year and go, hey, come on down. You know, they've got to, you know, get to a bowl game, see if they can make some significant strides. And, you know, that's what they're hoping, and that's why they've been very active, you know, trying to add veteran guys that are a little bit older. You know, Bryce Thompson's really one of the few guys that they've taken, you know, late as a flyer, and I don't even call him a flyer. He just kind of had outside circumstances that have been since cleared up. You know, that was about 18 years old. The rest of these guys, Keller Crist, Madre London, they're all, you know, 21, 22-year-old guys that have been, you know, Power 5 programs for 3 and 4 seasons.
You know, and the other thing, too, and Jesse Simonton had a great piece at VolQuest.com on this, but Pruitt is not showing patience in the building of the roster. And reading about that idea, I thought to myself, okay, the previous coaches have certainly used that word patience, because they entered with similar circumstances of fans wanting much more than what they just saw from with the previous coach. But I'm wondering if Pruitt's direction and approach is actually the correct one to take at Tennessee. Will fans understand that?
I think they will, and you know, I don't disagree with it, because you know, you can always come back and say we need to be patient later, but why not, you know, be on the offensive early? I mean, you know, you're right, Butch. You know, Jones had much more of a 4 or 5 year plan when he got here. You know, he inherited a mess left by Derek Dooley, but in some ways, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's inherited a mess by Butch Jones. So, you know, I guess they're just inheriting different types of messes. I mean, Butch, you know, had a struggle off the field. He had to get that APR up, and you know, they were going to miss a bowl game one year and so on and so forth. Whereas Jeremy's problems are more just on the field with depth, with player development and that kind of thing. And so he's trying to be very proactive. And while sure in his mind, he knows that this year can be a struggle, he doesn't want to think that way. He wants to think we're going to coach him up, we're going to overachieve, and we're going to have a solid year.
Yeah, and there's no saving back for next year in recruiting as far as numbers are concerned. The red shirts, don't expect very many of those. But I guess with the approach, is it realistic what he's wanting to do in year one?
Sure it is. I mean, you know, and all he's going to do, I think, is get to a bowl game, you know, be competitive. You know, and you go back to Lane's year, you know, Philip and them are coming off, you know, a 5-win season where they missed a bowl game, you know, and he's out. And so all of a sudden you turn it around. You win 7, you know, but you were competitive in all. I mean, you didn't get, you know, taken to the woodshed at all, which coming off the previous year where Phillip and company had gotten hammered by Florida and hammered by Alabama, it just made sense to, you know, be more excited about Lane Kiffin and what he was offering, because yeah, sure they did lose to Alabama that year, but they lost narrowly on the Mount Cody block kick. You know, they beat Georgia that year. You know, they were competitive in the swamp at Florida. So, you know, I think, you know, he's trying to build that same competitive nature around here to where they're in these games. And they may not win them all, but they're in them.
Austin Price of VolQuest.com with us.
Austin, tell us about the curious case of Bryce Thompson, the four-star player that Tennessee sort of mysteriously landed as he just drives to campus this week, and he's a part of the team. He's the top-rated player in South Carolina, did not end up at South Carolina. I know there's a reason behind that. Tell us about this Bryce Thompson case, Tennessee landing him, and maybe what this says about Jeremy Pruitt. And we're talking about him not wanting to rebuild. Jeremy Pruitt wanting players that can help him win at all costs. And what does this signing say about that?
Well, for Jeremy, I think Tennessee did their due diligence with Bryce Thompson. Obviously, he had to get some things corrected in the classroom and was right up until the last minute. I mean, he was working with his teachers and guidance counselors the morning before he left for Knoxville, getting everything, you know, in order. And so once he got the A-OK, he and his mom got in the car. They headed to Knoxville, made that drive from Irmo, which is basically like, you know, what Farragut is to Knoxville. I mean, just outside of Columbia. And headed to Knoxville to play. And, you know, obviously there are some rumors out there and rumblings about some off-the-field stuff. Everybody I've talked to says all that's been cleared up. And he's good to go. And I think, you know, you saw some South Carolina fans, you know, just like Tennessee fans would be there, like, well, we didn't want him anyways. But then some were like, yeah, I think that kid's a good player. I hate when I get him. We were hoping we could maybe, you know, end up with him after all. Well, he ends up at Tennessee. And, you know, if he was going to Marshall, you know, or something like that, I don't think Will Muschamp would you know, really care too much. But the fact he's going into his own division, something tells me Coach Muschamp's like, wait a minute, we couldn't get him in school. How are you guys getting him in school? You know, what's going on here? And I'm sure there's going to be questions raised, and Tennessee will have to go through that. I mean, that goes on everywhere when there's a question about academics, you know, and kids getting in or out of school.
I want to ask you about Bryce Thompson, but also another incoming freshman, Alante Taylor from Coffee County High School. Similar style athletes that did a lot throughout their high school career offensively, and they could project to do a lot defensively as well. Where do you see both of those guys landing on this roster? Because it certainly gives Pruitt two very versatile pieces he can play around with.
Gives him a ton of options, and I think that's the beautiful part of all this. If you're Jeremy Pruitt, is, you know, I think they liked what they saw from Alante Taylor on defense. I also know that Alante would rather play offense, and I think Coach Pruitt's brothers is, you know, hey, let him have a crack at that. But if they get into fall camp and they're really struggling a corner and they think, hey, Alante, you can help us. You could start on defense. You can be just one of a handful of guys that play receiver, but you could be the main guy at corner, one of the two guys. You don't think Alante would rather be on the field all the time than just part of the time? I think that ends up resonating. Either way, I think one plays offense, one plays defense. And I think right now, I think both of them want to play offense, but at some point, somebody's going to get shipped to defense. But that's why this is so good for Jeremy Pruitt. He has options now. He can say, well, I hate to lose Alante on offense, you know, but we need him on defense, you know. Whereas if Bryce Thompson wasn't here, then all of a sudden you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. I mean, you're robbing the offense to pay for your defense or vice versa. So I think it gives them options. I don't know which way I think they both want to play receiver, though. If you ask both of them right now, they both want to play wide receiver.
Austin, would you expect Tennessee to have some more good news on the recruiting trail in the month of June?
I think Tennessee's going to, you know, get, you know, some other prospects in the month of June. We've got players coming this weekend. Warren Burrell's on an official visit this weekend. Jackson Lampley and Wanya Morris, two Tennessee commitments, along with Jackson Lowe, so three total Tennessee commitments. And maybe even Sean Brown will be on campus this weekend. And then I just put on VolQuest right before you guys called me. Darnell Wright, the number two player in the country, is making his way down from Huntington, West Virginia, and he'll be in Knoxville this weekend as well.
Looks like they're working on an agreement with Beverly Davenport where she's not even going to be a part of the faculty anymore.
We put that on VolQuest about 25 minutes ago, and they are working on a separation agreement with former Chancellor Beverly Davenport. She was, you know, going to be owed about $2 million over the course of the next 4 years, and then she would go into being a faculty member where she would make north of $150,000. And that's going to be all kind of, you know, settled out. I expect that to be a little over $1 million being the settlement. She'll no longer be a part of the faculty and be a clean cut in ties with former Chancellor Beverly Davenport, you know, sometime today.
Do you think there's any school in America paying as much to people not working for them anymore as UT?
I don't think so, but I do think that they're trying to get that corrected. I know that it doesn't set well with people on campus to see some of the coaches that have went elsewhere take these, you know, kind of low deals when, you know, they're really not getting paid market value, so it ends up coming out of Tennessee's pocket. So I would venture to say that you'll start to see some of that, you know, get corrected at some point. You know, there's no doubt about it, you know, Paul. They pay a ton of money out every year, and I think, you know, it's become the butt of jokes, and Tennessee's trying to get that corrected. And they're starting with that by trying to, you know, save some money. And that's, you know, it's a little over $1 million. You're going to save a little less than $1 million on Beverly Davenport, plus the money that you had paid for her to be a faculty member that you just don't want.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com, our guest. Austin, thank you as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
Yep, you too. Austin Price of VolQuest.com. Follow him on Twitter at Austin Priceless.